Ladies and gentlemen.
We have a forum?
You do.
Todd said we do, so he's never wrong.
Yeah.
Wow, people are laughing at this. Anyway, welcome to our Cache Valley Transit Board of Trustees meeting. It's good to have you here. We're going to try to move things along quickly at the request of a number of our board members. So I would like one motion, if I could, to accept the minutes from our January meeting and also approve tonight's agenda. Could we do that? If there are any changes or corrections to the minutes, let us know. But if not, could we have one motion to do minutes and agendas?
I shall move.
Okay.
I'll second it.
We have a second over here by Mr. Quail. Any questions to the motion? If not, we'll vote on it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Our next meeting, Todd noted, is March 28th. That's what, the fourth Wednesday of March, I believe. And we're going to go to Logan City Library, a little change of venue, which will be nice. So let's remember that. Any comments or questions from the audience for management or board? Seeing none, we'll go ahead with the board business. I suggested to Todd it might be nice to meet some additional employees of Cache Valley Transit. We do have some that help us in our meetings, and we're very grateful to see all of you and appreciate your help. And so we have two staff people. We have Leah Checkitz and we have Jillian Crozier. Did I say that right, Jillian?
It's Crozier.
Crozier, forgive me.
That's all right.
So.
It's pretty good, most people.
And I think it's just kind of nice if you, let's go with Leah first, if that's okay, and then Jillian. Give us a little background about why you're, you know, how long you've been with the organization.
Well, my name is Leah Atkins Checkitz. I've been a resident of Cache Valley for all of but about 10 years, since 1970, the fall of 1970. So I know a lot of people here. This is not comfortable.
This is a friendly group, trust me, very friendly.
I left in November of 1991 and I came back in January of 2002. And in that time, LTD and then CVTD had become established. And one of the first things I did, I moved out to Richmond. I made my children learn all the bus routes. I rode the bus in and rode every route to learn how to get to work when I finally got a job. And I was a big fan. And then when I did find a job, I was driving and discovered that I could ride the bus just as easily and that I liked it better. So I would ride from Richmond. It saved me quite a bit of stress and quite a bit of money. And one day my driver early in the morning said to me, "They're hiring. Go fill out an application." Well, in June, I will have been an employee for 13 years. And I drove for about 8.5 years of that. And then I've been a core dispatcher for the last three, something like that. Sounds about right. I think it's 3 years that I've been in dispatch. I love it. I love the environment. I've gone through a lot of personal things while I've been an employee there. I've loved seeing the people come, and I've hated seeing people go. But it's you know, I get to celebrate with people when they get a job, and then with our students when they finally find a career in what they've studied, I get to celebrate with them with that too. If you have any questions, my only rule is if you don't want to know, don't ask me. So
tell me what your job entails then, if you would, Leah.
Well, I am the early morning core dispatch, which means I go in at 4:25 every morning. I open up shop at base. I assign all the buses out. I make sure the drivers come in, that we've got all our drivers there, that shifts are filled. We've got enough buses for every route. I work very closely with the shop and the mechanics early in the morning. And also, I try very hard to greet every one of our drivers and let them know they've got support there in the office. I process time off requests, I fill a lot of shifts. There's a lot that goes on in our office. Once it hits six, well, once the phones turn on, which is about 5 o'clock, I will be getting all kinds of phone calls. So I try and make sure. I've learned that one of the routes on our app wasn't set up just right. So I've learned to adjust that so that people can get on the app, see where their bus is, and follow through that way. I also schedule our paratransit. And a lot of my primary responsibilities from 7 o'clock on are processing employee time off requests and getting things in for payroll and scheduling paratransit. Also, being a dispatcher, we are required to drive a minimum of 10 hours a month. And where I am generally at our base, I'm also required to take at least a 4-hour shift every month at the transit center so that I'm cross-trained there. So I drive it all. I've driven everything. I've dispatched everywhere, and I'm very comfortable with all of that.
Well, I'd say that's pretty impressive.
That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, great.
Most importantly, what's your favorite route?
It came in
I love Route 4. I really love Route 4. I also love Route 5 and Route 1. They're really busy, and I like that. My least favorite, we won't go there. Okay.
When do you get up in the morning?
What?
When do you have to be to work then?
I'm in, my clock in time is 4:25. When I'm really on top of things, I'm there by 4:15, and then I push the little button on the coffee pot, you know, so anybody that comes in has their coffee waiting. I actually make sure that the coffee pot's ready to have a little button pushed before I leave every day. But my alarm clock goes off at 2:20 every morning.
Wow.
When I get there.
Better get home and get some rest.
Go to bed.
Well, yes, normally it would be. But tomorrow morning, if you come into the office and I look at you and go, understand that normally instead of being here at this time, I'd be home taking a nap because I also sing with the American Festival Chorus.
Oh, wow.
And so Wednesday night is our rehearsal night, so I won't see my bed till about 10:30 tonight. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I tell people I work to maintain my nasty arts habits, but it's what I enjoy. And I'm a firm believer that you have to have a creative outlet of some type to make you a better person and make you a better employee, too.
Thank you.
So. You sang at John Huntsman's funeral.
I did. I was there with all the big wigs. I saw people and went, well, I'm here. And it was lovely. I've gotten a lot of really, really incredible experiences that way. And next June, I'm going to London with them for an international music festival for 2 weeks.
Craig Jessup for president. Huh?
If I let her off work, right.
If she doesn't, we're going to have issues. But yeah, that. So it's a matter of trying to find a balance, really, in a lot of ways. Anybody else?
I have a question. How on earth do you ever find a substitute for all that? That's amazing.
There are a group of us that are core dispatchers, and then we have some fill-in dispatchers. And I was a fill-in dispatcher for a lot of years before I was a core dispatcher. And so we use the cores. Now, when I was a fill-in dispatcher, the person that had my job had it easy because I loved that 4:30 in the morning. That didn't bother me. I've discovered that not everybody has my attitude now that I'm trying to get it filled.
I can imagine.
But we manage. Great. And like yesterday, we had an emergency come up where one of our cores called in ill. We have an employee that's out that's one of our fill-ins that's on jury duty. We have, and so I just did an extra shift. I worked a 12-hour day yesterday. So after I got off at noon and I went to lunch with my friend and then I went back to work at 2:30 and stayed till 7 o'clock last night. So
that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you.
But it's it's easy if you believe in the vision, if you believe in what we do, and if you love the people you work with. And I really do. We work with some tremendous people, up and down. I'm talking about her. And I will say this, and this is honest, the honest to goodness truth. This lady that I work for, she's my immediate supervisor. I have got very few people in this world that I have more respect for than her. If you want to, she's the one you should be talking to, not me, because she does amazing things. So, anything else?
Thank you so much,
Leah.
You. We appreciate your great work, your great service. So.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, yeah. And Jillian Crozier.
Don't believe everything she says. I'm not that amazing.
And I know that Jillian's a good driver because I've ridden with her in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's you've ridden with me probably 3 or 4 times. I've done a couple of those charter things for Bragg. So.
Yeah.
Yep, so I'm Jillian Crozier. I'm the Transportation Services Supervisor. So I oversee dispatch. Like Leah said, we've got 5 core dispatchers. That basically means that their job day-to-day is dispatch. Like she said, they've got some requirements to go out and do some driving. They go out and drive our paratransit buses to make sure they're staying on top of that, as well as it keeps them fresh on when they're doing the scheduling. It helps them know where the addresses of our passengers are, where they're going to, that kind of stuff. They drive our fixed route service, and then, like she said, they're cross-trained at both our base facility and our transit center facility. So they kind of know all the ins and outs, and they do the scheduling. They answer the questions, they process our comments, and when they come through, they send that information through to the supervisors so that we can respond to those comments. My day-to-day stuff kind of, I interact with everybody from our drivers to our dispatchers to our administration staff. I have a little bit of interaction with our passengers throughout the day. I help out with some of our route planning and evaluation of our service. I'm getting a little bit more experience with our route planning stuff. That's something that I've picked up in the last 6 months to a year that I've been a little bit more involved with. Let's see. I oversee our bid. Our drivers work on a bid schedule, and I oversee that. Dispatch does the day-to-day shift coverage, but I do the quarterly shift coverage, if you will. We assign our drivers. Well, we let our drivers bid for shifts, and they basically know their schedule for the next 3 months. I do a lot of training. I assist with a lot of training for our new hires. I do the scheduling for the training for our new hires.
Gosh, I don't even know.
It's kind of a mix and match every day. I don't have a set. I do this and this and this. It's kind of a just as it comes. Jody back here is my immediate supervisor. He's my manager. So I'm lucky enough to work for a great company where we've got great directors and great management that takes good care of us, and we definitely appreciate that.
We appreciate you. Any questions for Jillian? How many years have you been with Cache Valley Transit?
It will be 11 years in April. I moved up here after spending 10 years in St. George, and I was here for about 3 weeks before I got hired on at CBTD. Started out as a part-time driver, just like most of our other employees. Was working as many hours as I could, trying to learn all the routes. And the first time I got behind the wheel of a bus, I was in our yard, in our closed course yard. 5 miles an hour in a straight line, and I thought, there is no way I'm ever going to make it through doing this. I am not going to be able to do this. And I absolutely love driving. One of the things that I have the hardest time with being a supervisor is that I don't get to drive as often as I would like. Because it's great to get out there, to interact with the public, to see what's happening in our community, the developments, it's great to be out there and see that and interact, and I wish I could do it more, and I try to do it once in a while, but it is what it is, and I appreciate every time I can. So, anything else?
Thank you. We appreciate your great
work. You guys have a good night.
Todd, you still
going? We're going to ditch you guys. So
oh, yeah. Thanks for being here. And you better get to bed, Lee.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Go to rehearsal. All right. Sorry.
He's not done yet.
You know, this is the interesting thing. You see a bus driving down the road, and I don't realize, you know, what it takes to keep that bus on the road. You know, some of us went to the maintenance facility last year, one of our meetings. We got to go look at the maintenance facility down on 6 North. And yeah, it's just amazing what it takes. We have to have these great people that are dedicated and do their jobs well. So how many total employees about now?
We hover between about 105, something like that.
Okay, so that's a lot of folks to keep things going. So we appreciate them all, and thanks for bringing those people in. We have in your packet a little one-pager, I think, on the financial handout. Curtis, you're the financial guru. Do you want to just tell us about that briefly? We have new people, and some of us old-timers probably need a reminder about our finances.
Well, what we've tried to do here is give you just a one-page handout, very simple, a lot of brief overview, really condensed information, and we tried to make it pretty simple to use. So if you look up in the top corner in green, we're kind of giving you a summary of the last 5 years. Over those 5 years, our revenues have actually gone up 35%. So if you divide that out, it's roughly 7% per year, because it covers a five-year span. So, well, in the meantime, our operating expenses have only gone up a little bit over 10%. So if you average that out, it's less than a little bit over 2%. So we're trying to be fiscally conservative, trying to keep our expenses down. Even though our revenues are going up, we're trying to be responsible for what we're doing with those.
Revenues were from sales tax?
Go ahead, Sean. Yeah, that was my question.
We'll flip it over on the back, and I'll show you.
Oh, yeah, where the increase is. Okay,
so in the meantime, over the course of those 5 years, we've also spent $6.5 million just in capital expenditures. So just to give you a feel of what we've been doing over the last 5 years. Let's just flip over to the back and to give people kind of a snapshot view, and this tends to hold it true to the trend, but typically about 2/3 of our funding comes from the local option sales tax. About 30% tends to come through federal grants. Now, those grants can come directly to us or through the state, but they're all federal grants. There's no state money that flows through to us. And then we have just a little bit of other stuff that comes through where we've got a contract with Idaho for the amount of service that we provide up in Idaho. We get some advertising revenues. As you can see, it's a pretty small factor relative to our overall funding. We really focus on the sales tax and the federal grants. That's where we can make the most impact. Down below on this page, we've also tried to give you an idea of our upcoming replacement bus schedule and vehicle schedule, just so you can kind of get a feel for what's coming up in the future that we've got a plan for. The bulk of this, through 2021, we've already got the funding lined up. We're working to line up 2022, so that we've got a plan in place to get us all the way out through those years. If everything goes right within the next week or so, we'll have 2022 lined up. Specifically, as we work through some of the grants with the federal government and the state, but that'll give you a flavor for what our replacement schedule is coming up. Some of the major expenditures that you can anticipate on the horizon. I know I'm bouncing around, but if you flip back forward to the front, we've kind of told you more about our infrastructure needs. So the back part covers the replacement vehicles. We've given you some rough price ranges as they currently stand. Those obviously are going to go up as we get into the future because most of our contracts have a price index inflation factor to them. But where we stand now with our facility, we actually do not park our paratransit vehicles under any sort of covering. Yeah, exactly. So right now all of our spots are filled up with buses, and we actually put the buses for our most vulnerable portion of the population, we just park them alongside of a fence. So if we want to expand service very much where we're at, starting to add vehicles, we've got to come up with some solutions to our bus storage area. We've also got some limitations in our dispatching area. We've got some limitations in our driver space. Those of you who've been around, our drivers have little cubbies for themselves. They don't even have a place where they can lock anything up. So if we ask them to leave their cell phone, a lot of times they're finding some other place to store like their cell phone or anything else that they shouldn't have with them on a bus. So we do have capacity issues with the facility, and we've met with an architect. We've got some basic plans for what we can do with the facility in the future. Most of you know we have property out on the in North Logan. It's out where the pajama shop place is. Out there, it's right around 3,000 North and about 3rd West is where the property is. And we have some basic phased ideas of how we could build out there and then phase and transition our operations all the way out there for our maintenance and our administration side of things. So those are some of the things that, as we have excess funds, we're setting those aside because we know those needs are coming up. We've got basic plans in place. What we're doing is looking for guidance, because the minute we say we're going to need to add 3 more buses, we've got to pull the trigger on this expansion stuff too. So it kind of goes hand in hand.
So has these been approved then, or like this $20 million infrastructure?
This infrastructure side of things?
Yeah, has that been approved by the board? Or?
No, that's why. All we're doing is we've done research to show what can be out there. They're rough estimates. There's nothing that's been approved, and that's why there's no construction or anything happening. We're not moving forward on that until we get authorization to proceed with a full plan.
We don't have funding to fund all of that either. I mean, that's why we're putting money aside every year, trying to
save about 5 years ago, the board approved to buy the property, and then these plans were shown, kind of the needs and kind of the ideas.
Yeah, it's been closer to 7.
Yeah,
7 more times wise.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I remember seeing it.
Yeah, we talked about the expansion needs back then. They haven't diminished, and we're still just in this holding pattern of what do we do. But in the meantime, we're going to create financial plans so we can give the board options.
Okay, any questions for Curtis?
Is this information public enough, like if I shared it with my city?
That's what it's designed.
Okay.
We want to make it very easy for you to share and be able to talk about it the way, using your own language. I'm just trying to give you the overalls so that if you've got questions, I'd gladly want to clarify them.
Just on that, Amber, so that was the intent, is that we're going to start trying to make some of these types of things. And so if you get questions and you'd like that. Also, over on this table here, we have the fast facts and air quality information. I mean, these are intended for you to take to constituents, to your councils, to give information. These are things that we often hand out. Jillian actually just accompanied me down to the legislature. We had a transit day down at the legislature. We took a bus down there, and we were showing the legislators this type of information about Cache Valley Transit. So that's the intent behind it.
Curtis, let me just ask a question. So on this price on these buses, is that the total price? Like a bus is $450,000?
Yeah, one bus is
But we as a transit, you only have to pay 20% of that, isn't it right? Because the feds match 80% for
bus replacement. We have to line up the full 100% funding. Fortunately, we've been able to line up federal grants, but yeah, a bus costs $450,000.
And the feds pay 80%, and we pay 20%.
Our local share is 20%, typically. That's if we can get the full 80% funding. Now, some of the buses, we haven't been able to get the full 80% funding on. We get it pretty close, but some of these grants, like I said, we're locking up grants for 2021. Well, some of them are locked in at more like 2019 prices because the price escalates. So there's some where I'm not going to promise that we're exactly 20%. We may be 22%, 23%.
But we don't pay full price.
It just depends on what we can get through the grants. But our goal is constantly trying to get 80% funding.
And then does this count, like I know that the Idaho Air Quality got a grant, so they're buying a bus for us?
Yeah, one of the 4 buses that's coming in 2019, they've committed funding that was lined up to fund 100%, but that grant is 2 years old. and they didn't factor in all the escalation that's going on, and so it's actually going to come up a little bit short. Okay. So we'll probably, we'll have to come up with $10,000 to $15,000.
But to that point, though, I mean, there is some of this funding that directly comes to us through formulas, but a lot of this, we're actively out there fighting for this money. It's very competitive, and so Curtis alluded to, hopefully next week we'll have some more information. We're going down to the state, and we're competitively competing with other entities in the state, the Park City Transit, UTA, all these other entities, for some of this grant funding. And you know, so it's something that we have to be anxiously engaged in. It's not a passive thing where it just comes to us.
Okay, any other questions for Curtis? We need to move on.
Do we get any more, any, like I think I was reading in the paper about the CMPO gets so much for transit and they're giving so much money to CBTD. Does that go for buses too?
They've only given us two pots of money, some planning money. So the short range transit plan, they paid a portion of that, a fairly small portion, but and then some CMAC funding, which they've given to us to do some design work for bike park and rides. So it's, they're small amounts.
But yeah, we haven't received very much CMAC.
None of it's operating or anything. Purchasing buses or anything.
Thank you very much.
So are we making this to tell them that we need more money? Is that the point of this, or just...
It's just information.
Just say this is what we have? But if we haven't approved the $20 million for the building structures, I guess I'm not seeing why we were putting this on there if it's not approved or the board hasn't discussed it.
We are trying to communicate what we are seeing in the future, but...
Estimates for future projects.
That's what it would take for us to expand a facility in a new location. That's the projection.
So just like with the CMPO, with the counties, the cities, we all have short, medium, and long-range plans. Mm-hmm. And the more we can coordinate all of that and coordinate and understand what the needs are for roads, for transit, for bike, pedestrian access, the more that we can all coordinate and communicate that, the better. So we're just providing information so that you can talk to constituents, talk to your councils.
So it just says the board provides oversight. So for me, with putting this out there, we're just saying, hey, the board is approving this, want this?
No. What this is it's a potential. They're saying if we decide to move and build a new administration building, mm-hmm. we're looking at phase one being, what was it, 10 million, phase mm-hmm. two being five, the next phase being five. You know, by the time it actually gets down, it could be 20 million, mm-hmm. could be 10 million, could be 50 million. It's just saying it's right now, based on what it's a reasonable guess, mm-hmm. and saying this is what we're looking at, but they're saving money.
But as Norm, it's partly related to population. Is the population in Nibley City growing? The projection, I'm sure it is.
But our ridership is going down.
Well, yeah, but if our population doubles in the next 40 years, our ridership will go up, will it not? We assume it will.
But it has.
If we all drive a self-driving car, maybe not.
Right.
You know, but I guess I don't see any problem putting this on paper as a potential need.
Okay.
You know, that... Does anybody else see a problem with that?
No.
No?
You can add, add notes to it and explain things when you send it out.
Not
and
for
say
a presentation
that,
so. To a city council.
Yeah.
We're all going to put a little bit different terminology and spin on it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Curtis.
I should add to it the need for self-driving buses.
Yeah.
Except I like the drivers. They're half the fun of riding
and
the bus.
They like their job.
To that point, I just received a notice today that there's two areas for us to give public comment about automation of vehicles. And because the FTA is actually starting to look at that aspect. And so we're anxiously following that because there is push out there for transit to become more automated.
I was told this week that there's some local company that's working on self-driving aircraft. Yeah, now that's a little scary to me. But some local company is working on that. That's what I heard. Thank you very much, Curtis. Let's move on. Seeing the list of board members reminded me that I was contacted by two board members, by Patrick Jenkins, who's recently had a little surgery, couldn't be here, asked to be excused, and Heidi Harper asked to be excused. Oh, okay. Lyle Lumberg. Okay. So if the minutes would reflect they asked to be excused, we're not able to be here. So next, we're going to turn to Ron, item 8, to talk about Global Ends policy and all the work he's been doing.
Not me. Everybody's been doing it.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's been doing it. I want to thank everyone that participated in the survey. We had 17 board members participate in the survey, and even Dean tried it twice. It was good. We had a rogue entry for Chad, and we were able to surreptitiously figure out who that was, but we won't mention any names. But we had 17 board members participate. You took the survey. I am grateful that we had that much. We met as the PEP committee on a week ago yesterday, and we went through everything. We went through all the results. We shortened it up a little bit. I know that when we met a month ago, I promised you this humongous spreadsheet, but then I figured nobody would be able to print it out because it was going to be 11:17, and you were going to get like 8 or 9 pages. So we very judiciously sent you the copy of it, basically just the comments based on each question that was provided. We took the results everybody provided of the 17. We provided every of all the 17, you provided the conclusions for each policy, whether it needed to be accepted or rejected or needs further board discussion. Everyone got this in their email. We sent this out a week ahead because we wanted all the board members to have time to look at it. Any board member that does not participate in the survey, we just list as abstaining. And there were two that did that, as you can see. So what we did is we totaled all of the results. And in essence, the bottom line there is that we have 12 ballots or 12 votes. We do things by a majority rule, so it's 50% plus one. You see the results. I'll leave it at that. Now, what we decided to do at our PEP committee meeting is that there were, and Sue and everyone known, I know Norm was.
I apologize.
No, he was out. He was out feverishly shoveling snow.
Oh, I was tired.
And, I'm glad for guys like him that are willing to do that as a profession. The only time I get frustrated is when I get my driveway clean and the plow goes by and puts it back in my driveway. So we decided as a PEP committee to bring you the results. We just copied and pasted everything into what we got. You know, thanks Jeff for being there too. And we decided that I've got a copy of the email, is that we were going to, using the Robert's Rules of Order, the board will vote on acceptance of each policy section and subsection. In other words, we have 5 policies listed there. And so this is a first for all of us, and I know Roger wants us to get this done relatively quickly. I said we could do this in one fell swoop, but I think what we need to do is look at policy 1.0 and put forth a motion that we move that we discuss the results of policy 1.0.
Don't we have to move that we accept it and then we discuss?
Yes. Thank you.
So do we have a motion to that effect then? Is that a motion by
yes,
you?
The motion is... as what Sue said.
What did you say, Sue?
I move we accept the general manager's interpretation of 1.0 policy.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I second.
We have a second to that motion. Now we're going to have some discussion, correct?
Correct. And the discussion is what the way we envisioned it is that we now have the discussion points of policy 1.0, the comments that were provided. There were a number of people that needed further discussion. Is there any discussion, any clarification based on your review of the comments by others? I noticed some people made from my, and I'll just look at it according to Ron, is that some people made just general statements, others made specific statements, and but I also noticed that most of the comments were around the documentation, which we really haven't seen yet.
Right. Okay, what are Robert's rules? What do I do? I was the one that
go
said
ahead
we
and share.
Need that we need more discussion on that, just because I didn't have anything in front of me to tell me whether or not, you know, that goal had been met.
When we first did this, about a year ago now, we got the interpretation, and then we got an inch and a half of documentation. And the board members at the time reeled back and said, wait a minute, this is way too much for us to digest in a couple of weeks. So we came back to the board and said, how about if we give you the let's look at the interpretation. Does the interpretation that he has given, do we accept it or do we reject it, or do, you know, we need further discussion? But we added a listing of what that documentation that would be provided to support that. So we split it in two. So we said, here's the documentation you're going to get to support this interpretation. If we gave you the documentation, you'd have 2 weeks. We would give you 2 weeks to go through it. And it would be about, the first one was about 150 pages. And that's just, and that's a small, this is 1.0, or the first ones here are very simple. When we start moving into 2.1 and 2.2 and so on, we may end up with more documentation. So we thought this would be the best bet. And then the next year, when we're through all of this and we go into the second year, then we give you the documentation because we've already accepted the interpretation.
Okay, that makes sense. And I did learn a lot after just reading more, so I'm good.
Okay, other comments or questions?
So we will get the copies of the supporting documents then for like the ones that you listed there? So is that what we're
next
saying?
Next year.
Yeah, so we'll get that and then we'll get...
Yep.
And we'll for review example, the document. Like
my vision is to review the documentation mm-hmm. and then beat it up from there. Because we'll look, does this... We've already, the list of documentations won't change between now and next year. Okay. So next year, when next year comes around and we're looking at 1.0, he's going to give us the documentation that we didn't get this year. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to look at that documentation to see in detail if it supports the interpretation.
So for example, like on D, the transit system meets the average cost per ride, and then his supporting document is the national database. So we'll get a copy of that national database so we can see how it compares.
I don't know if you're going to get the full database. You might get the extracted data that will support CBTD.
Okay.
Eric, you had a comment?
Yeah, so just on a couple of these, as I was reading through, so where it says the district provides zero fare transit service to major destinations within Cache and Franklin County, I'm not sure that fits in there as far as like how that contributes to being safe, reliable, and environmental responsibility. I mean, that almost seems like it might go somewhere else, but it doesn't really fit into that category as far as an interpretation there. The
is
second
word convenient in there too, though? I thought I saw that.
Convenient is, so what we're looking at is the definition at the top, and then we look at his interpretation of the definition at the top, and then he's giving us what his supporting documents are for each one of those. So if you look at B, which is the one Eric's pointing to, the district provides zero fare transit service, references, I'm assuming, B at the top, convenience, and then what he would be giving us is showing how convenient the service is by providing us with the district system map. Does that make sense, Eric?
Yeah, but I just didn't fit the other.
Well, don't.
So, but that's just my opinion.
Well, what else would you expect to see?
I would just take it out, and then maybe it'll fit in something down later on in one of the policies that deal with more things. So it just, yeah.
Okay.
So your question is, do you, so just so I'm understanding, clarifying what you're saying, providing zero fare doesn't say convenient to you, but it might say convenient to me, like it's convenient to me that it's zero fare, so I feel like it's
yeah,
okay to
convenience,
go there.
Yeah, probably doesn't hit maybe a little bit, but just a small portion is what I would think, so.
Okay, thanks, sir. Any other comments?
Just one more on F. I'm a little bit concerned about putting it as far as when we're talking about peer systems to compare with the peer systems in the short-range transit plan. The only problem I have with every peer listed in the short-range transit plan, none of them are fare-free, so I don't think we're getting a real good comparison because there's a, according to the last short-range transit plan, they described how huge of a difference there is between a system that's fare-free and one that charges fare, so I think we want to get a more close comparison. We need to have fare-free systems in there, so we might want to change that instead of to peer systems in the most recent short-range transit plan to compare to other fare-free systems.
Okay. So we can do that, I guess. Sue, Ron?
It's just some ideas I'm throwing out to consider, but it would give us a more realistic.
And I'm reading it differently because I'm reading that what it's saying here is the cost to run our system would be below the average cost to run any system. So yeah, whatever it costs for us to buy gas, whatever it costs for us to buy bus, whatever it costs that we want to maintain with a system our same size, whether they're fare-free or not fare-free, there's still those maintenance costs that everybody has to cover. Where we get our money from is different than somebody who's getting their money from charging a fare.
But we all have costs.
Fare.
The same
so
category.
That's how I interpret that. Is that. Was that your intent?
That's comparable.
Yeah, that's what.
So cost per hour, not cost per ride.
Well, we, yeah, well,
or the cost, yeah. Okay.
It's not a revenue test. It's a test of cost.
Yeah, but operating cost as well.
Yeah, right. Yep. Whether you're fare-free or whether you're charged.
Well, yeah, and that's true, Sue, except for in that short-range transit plan, it talked about administrative costs are cost considerably more for a transit system that charges and they have more involved in it, more equipment. So they're cost more than a fare-free system would. So that's going to skew numbers there. And especially then, it affects ridership immensely, too, is what it stated. And
could
so that's going to change the numbers also.
Could we look at those parts that would be relevant to compare and maybe not look at the other parts that aren't relevant
sure,
to compare?
Sure, yeah.
Would that be
yeah. And
doable?
But that's why I was thinking, even if you throw in fare-free systems, then there would be no question.
What if we said, like, including
yeah.
some?
So, can I make one request on that? Because I'm open to that. It would be fare system serving similar demographics, similar size, because there aren't a lot of fare systems, fare-free systems out there. I'm sorry. So if you compare us to Raleigh, North Carolina, where the density is so much more, or where the size of this system, we want to look at true peer systems, I think. And so we would just want to look at fare-free yeah. systems that are peer in relative size.
And gasoline prices, everything varies greatly.
But yeah. we're open to looking for those systems. I mean,
and I think, you know, in that last, I think they've even listed I think there was other five peer systems listed that were fare-free in the 2012 compensation study. They listed some that were supposed to be comparable to ours that were fare-free. There was like five of them. So, yeah, we could have some around there. They're out there.
The reason I selected the short-range transit plan is I'm not selecting the systems. You have an independent consultant that's selecting the peer systems, and so it's not me selecting those systems. That's my only concern is that I'm going out and hand-picking those. There might be a perception that I'm trying to purposely select systems that we're going to look stellar against. And my intent was that that's an objective way to get peer systems, but I'm open to your interpretation.
Do we need to state that in there? That it's an outside consultant that picks the peer systems?
Good.
Would that clear it up for anybody? Does that help, not help? I mean, I didn't know that. I thought we picked them, but I'm glad somebody else is picking
up. Yeah, but sometimes you're not always going to have the short-range transit plan out there to do that.
At.
Well, yeah, you would because you could use the same one. And we've got multiple short-range transit plans, right, John?
You're doing it every 5 years, every 4 to 5 years.
Okay. Do we need to list it in there, or is it an understanding that now you all know that somebody else is picking them?
Okay, does that solve the problem then?
This is really your guys' issue. I'm trying to give you information.
So would there be a reason why you wouldn't want to include some fare-free systems in there?
I think whatever the consultant picks, that picks the system and their definition of peer systems.
So you could go to different consultants that have picked different systems too, not just this one. There's past studies and past things that would have, that have picked pure ones that would have fare freeze in them too, that weren't picked by there.
We could write in there or say that we encourage them to see if they can find a pure free system that would line up with the pure, a system that would be pure.
We would just get a lot more accurate, you know, apples to apples by doing so.
I think we need to consider too the added cost of consultants in a, in another study and the administrative cost. And
oh no, we wouldn't do another consultant study. We'd use,
well, if you're going to pull another consultant in.
No, it was ones that is what it's referring to. Sorry, it's ones that have already been done that we've used that CBTD has. Yeah.
So we just use those.
Okay, so we'll work on the wording there a little bit then. Is that where we are? Let's move on. Ron, where are we now?
I'd like to call for the question.
Okay. Oh, okay. So we had a motion and a second. I kind of lost it there. All right. Thank you. Any further discussion? Hopefully not. Let's go ahead and vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We have one opposed.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. Any abstentions?
Craig's trying to get in.
Okay. All right, Ron, would you move ahead, please?
Okay, now we're going to want to go back to the results. That's okay. We're doing one, we're down to 101. Okay. Same things. Sally or Sue, you want to?
Sally.
You've got the right wording, so let's use you as the person to call for the motion.
Okay, I would like to propose that we accept the general manager's interpretation of policy 1.0.1. I'd also like to note in that as we look at the voting chart here, by far the majority of people had already accepted on that one, but I'm open.
Okay, so
second.
Go ahead. We have a motion on the table. Do we have a second for that motion?
I will second.
We have a second by Roger. Comments or concerns about that motion? Seeing none, we'll proceed to vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Any of you want to do an opposed? Oh.
Oh, yeah. Any opposed to that one? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Did you oppose, Eric?
No.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. I would also like to propose that we accept the general manager's interpretation of policy 1.0.2. Accessibility to transit services is optimized.
Okay.
I'll take a second on that.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second to that one? We have a second by Sean?
Yeah. We would like to bring in some discussion on this one, if that's okay.
Feel free. Do you
there
want to lead
out? There was a
discussion.
Yeah, I'll be happy to lead out. Our question is, we looked at this as a PEP committee, is we wondered if we were talking about ADA. So is this reflective of mainly ADA?
That's what I define it as, but maybe that's not the correct definition.
Well, because that, I think when you look at the questions that people had for section 1.0.2, mm-hmm. that was the question. Are we only addressing, and is that our focus? Because if that's our focus, that's great, because you've addressed ADA in here, but yeah. if we need to include other things besides ADA, they're not.
If that's the intent, I'm great. My comment was,
oh,
we also are, as we talk accessibility, it is not only accommodating ADA, it is also placement of stops
sure.
to accommodate as many people as we
right.
can.
That's a great point.
That's accessibility. And I thought that would be an appropriate add-on to the statement, a simple add-on to the statement.
Okay. Further discussion on that, so we're...
So do we want to change that wording to say accessibility to transit services for ADA is optimized?
Yeah, that would do it too. If that's what we're focusing on.
This is where I'm looking at you. What's your my interpretation was through ADA, but maybe that's not appropriate. So
I have a third of the vote, so it won't matter.
We also talked about in our PEP committee meeting about this, that when we brought it up or when you saw the comments, is that we thought about changing the text in the policy manual. Get to that if I can. We thought about changing, we're on 1.02, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, we thought about adding accessibility to transit services is optimized. We thought, well, maybe we should say optimized as per ADA, or then adding a sub-policy to go in and talk about, you know, general ridership, those with bikes, those that needed, you know, other things.
Yeah.
And so we thought maybe we needed to expand upon the policy. So that's a board issue that we need to, then the PEP, we figured if that was what we wanted to do, then the PEP committee would take on that assignment and bring back the language to change in our policy manual.
Well, I think when you look at 1.0.3, we're trying to give reasonable public transit options during the hours of social and civic engagement are happening. To me, that's kind of covers what I think I understand we're talking about. So I would prefer to leave 102
with ADA
specific, because I think it's a very important point, probably deserves its own attention.
I agree with that. Okay. So would you like to make an amendment to my proposal that we add ADA?
I propose that we amend Sue/Sally's.
I've got a note in here. We'll bring it back to the board as a policy change.
I move that we leave 102 as it's written.
But you want to add ADA to 102? Don't we want to add ADA to 102?
Yes.
That's the only change I was going to do right
there. And I move that once that you do that, and then it's considered passed, and you don't have to see it again.
Yes.
I'll second. Okay.
So you don't want us to come back to you? Okay, so we're
I know. We're not going by Robert's rules here. Roger's rules.
Right. Works.
And I'm getting behind. So we have a motion to accept the general manager's interpretation of A or of 102, right?
Correct.
With
the caveat that we agree or may need to change the wording a little bit to make sure it's American with Disability Act we're talking
in our title.
About.
Yep.
Okay. That's the motion. Is that okay?
Yes.
We don't have another motion over here. Okay, all in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you very much. Any opposed to that one? Thank you. Okay. We're
Mr.
moving along.
Chairman, I respectfully request that we adopt the general manager's interpretation of policy 1.0.3.
Okay, we have a motion to go with the general manager's interpretation of 103. Do we have a second?
I second that motion.
Thank you very much, Cecilia. Any discussion on that one?
I was wondering about the hours from 8 to 5. What limiting of the hours? Because we run more than 8 to 5. I don't.
Okay.
I wasn't sure why we put 8 to 5 on there.
8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Where is that? I don't know what we're looking at.
Well, just one question. The purpose of that, Norm, and maybe we need to just call it out. This is me trying to probably be too general. Maybe I need to be more specific. Not all of our services go beyond that. So Franklin County, for example, doesn't go beyond that. So maybe we need to specify it out differently. I don't know.
Is that like the minimum? That's the minimum operating hours.
Every service is a little different.
Oh, okay.
Isn't it when your administration's available to help?
That's
what we're available hours beyond that too.
Yeah.
So again, we can pull that out more. That may be a valid point, possibly.
Or just I don't know why we need to put hours in there.
Yeah, maybe we don't.
Because that limits what we have.
Okay, so there's agreement.
Would you like to make an amendment, Norm?
Well, that's just the interpretation of it.
Yeah, it's just an interpretation. Maybe, but if you think it's something we need to do different, we're open to
it. I like it. His idea, let's just remove the hours.
Yeah.
But we have to replace it with something, say, during operating hours.
Because you've got the special buses that are running, you know, for events and stuff. I just think removing the hours covers you for any event.
Why don't we change it to during operating hours?
Oh,
a vague
go.
Term.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
So is that okay? So with the motion, with the person who made the motion and second to approve that with just during operating hours and eliminate 8 to 5.
Mm-hmm. Is the wording the 13 cities misleading, inferring that there are only 13 cities in the county or in the service area?
Currently, that is correct, Roger. So our service boundaries are limited to the district boundaries So the cities beyond that, so for example, Wellsville is not part of the district.
I see what you're saying, okay.
So that is correct currently.
Or maybe we should say to the approved service area. I mean, that way we don't have to change it if it does expand. Okay, so there's
great point.
Agreement to change to the approved service area. Approved would be by us and having the money to do it. Okay, so there are two changes. Comments?
I just had another question. Maybe you can answer this. I'm just wondering how this plays in. So it talks about we might work with Box Elder District in Rich County, where I think Box Elder passed that local option sales tax, so they pay money to UTA, like 40% of their sales tax. So if we were to do service, how would that affect where they're paying money to UTA? And then
those things would have to be worked out. So
would that switch over and then come to CVTD if we got involved?
Potentially. I mean, again, those are things that we'd have to work through. I mean,
but they use UTA down there, so they still have to support that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think, well,
I'll just mention under my report in a minute what happened last week that moves us a little bit that direction to consider it, but it's way down the road, Eric.
I just wondering, yeah, how that would play out.
The board's policy there says region, and so I'm defining the region as the Bragg region, because that's kind of the region that we're in. And so that is Rich and Box Elder County as well. But again, that doesn't mean we're providing service. It just means we're engaged. From my perspective, we're engaged in maybe planning or discussions, and Roger can talk to that, as he said. So that was my intent.
Okay, so we have the motion and the second with just two slight wording changes, not 13 cities, but the approved service area. Thank you very much. And during operating hours?
Operating
hours. Okay, all in favor of the motion with those two changes of wording, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Thank you very much. Next one, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the interpretation from General Manager for 1.0.4, traffic congestion and vehicle admission levels.
Do we have a second?
I second it.
Sean, second, thank you. Questions or comments on that wording or the motion, question on the motion?
On that, I think it's kind of broad because we're limited on what we can do for traffic congestion and emissions. I mean, there's stuff that we can control. Almost like how full a bus is, like a large bus or a small bus on a route and stuff. That was my concern there. It's just we're doing reports and stuff we have no control over. The stuff we do have control of is the capacity of our bus. If we're running at 20%, then we can run a smaller bus instead of a 40 or 45-foot bus. I mean, we can control in-house what we do. So that's why, for supporting dogma, I would think we could do a report about how full our buses are, and we can regulate our routes and design there. That's something that we can control and monitor.
Why don't we add the quarterly service report to a supporting document then to this one?
We can do it.
Because that does have ridership. It has a lot of metrics on it.
And it tells how full the capacity.
What'd you call that, Sean?
The quarterly service report. I mean, that has our ridership numbers by route.
Because if the buses are empty and we're driving them, we're doing more harm than good. We could control our routes and what we do, or we could just run a smaller and do like a personal.
Yeah, but how can you determine if a bus? I mean, by tracking ridership. But today the bus could be full, tomorrow it could be half full, the next day it could be empty.
Right.
And then back and forth, and flows back and forth.
Right.
So unless you've got a route where you don't have where you ride the bus where the bus goes every day, because nobody rides it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then you got an issue, but today it's empty, but tomorrow it's full.
But if we have a route that 100% of the time we're only 20%, we can run a smaller bus.
That's correct, but that's what I would assume that CVTD is doing.
I don't know.
That's their responsibility.
A quarterly report would be a good metric to watch that, because things change over
okay.
time. It's not a bad thing.
Okay.
Okay, so I add the service report to that, and then we're okay with the motion.
Just one more.
My question, is there much difference between emissions with a smaller bus versus a bigger bus?
Not a lot.
A
small large
fuel
would be a huge difference.
Well, the report we were handed last time, and maybe is over on the table, USU said a big bus emits no more than one car.
The average car.
Average car.
Yep. It's true. Now, we need to update that, but it's only going to get better. I'm happy to provide you the report.
No,
let's get Norm the
information. I'm not the engineer. That's why we have outside folks, but I'm happy to give it to you. I mean,
just...
What about mileage? Could I just ask about mileage?
Sure.
Comparing the big buses to the small buses?
As far as how much fuel they're consuming?
Miles per gallon.
Yeah, the big buses are going to use more fuel.
Significantly.
Jody, you know better than me. What's our miles per gallon big bus to Colorado buses? But one thing. So a couple of things to consider. I mean, I think Ron's got a valid point. So ridership, I will tell you, any of you that want to experience this firsthand, we can tell you the time of day and what route to get on. People do not like to be crammed in like sardines, but we do that, right? So for some people, that experience over time, I'm just going to quit riding. So if you put a small bus out there and you say, we're just going to run it always at capacity, you're going to have some folks just quit riding the bus. That's not comfortable for them. The other thing is from a maintenance perspective, years ago, we had a route that was struggling. We put a smaller bus on it. And the maintenance costs on that, Jody, remember how often we were replacing major components on that bus because they're not built for that condition. They're not built for, you know, going from a... Maybe they're built for 5 to 6 people, but now all of a sudden they're transporting 25 people at capacity. They just wear out. And so what we found is maintenance-wise, it's just better to put a big bus. Jody can tell you way better than me. But
that's true. The other thing I would say is we do that to a point now when we have in our history. We cater the vehicles to the load. That's why we run the 40-footers on the university service and 35-footers in other areas. We run paratransit vehicles in fixed route service. That's where Bob's talking about ran into the problem maintenance wise. But the capacity is so small on a paratransit style vehicle, you have a 12-seat capacity basically, that during most parts of the peak hours, you just don't have capacity.
So to answer Norm's question, I think we got to assume the staff here, with all their experience, know what the heck they're doing as far as capacity goes. So I would certainly trust the staff.
But I like the idea of adding the quarterly service report.
Okay.
That'll help us give
it. And again, I want to clarify, we're talking about traffic congestion and vehicle emission levels.
Correct.
Okay, 104. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Just one more question on that.
So, let's hurry, please, Eric. We want to get out of here before 8 o'clock.
Right, well, we want to treat this with importance, so I understand.
Well,
make sure we
cover
it.
But you're thinking more importance than the rest of us are. So go
I
ahead.
I guess I take it more serious.
Go ahead. Well, maybe not.
So is there a way that we statistically can tell if we've reduced congestion and air quality?
I think that there are some things that we can do. So the short range transit plan tells you that, and again, we're only going by the information we have, but people identified that about 40 to 45% of them are what we call choice riders. They had access to a vehicle, but they are choosing to ride the bus.
Right.
So from that survey tells me that on average we have 40 to 45% of our ridership are people that have access to a car. So I would say, yeah, you're reducing it. To what level? I can't give you that without really on every single trip interviewing every single passenger and saying, all right, did we defer you from taking a car today? I don't know how to tell you beyond that.
And what type of car they have.
Yeah. But again, I do think there are things through the studies that we've done that we can say, yes, we're having an impact. Yeah.
Just so many factors. I don't know how you would decisively calculate that.
Correct.
Weather would contribute and other major functions in the valley would.
There was a travel survey done. That information, and I'm happy to provide that. That gives us some indication of that. Again, but what you're relying on is people self-identifying. I don't know how you would get any more than that. But yeah, there have been studies done that I think we can, and we could put that in there. The travel survey would be another good thing to show you.
That's my concern.
Again, we don't do those. That's something that's done by outside organizations, and so I don't specify how often that's done, but I can put the most recent travel survey in there. That'd be a good thing, actually.
Okay. So we'll add that to the interpretation. Are we satisfied with the wording now if we add that with the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, I move we accept the interpretation of the general manager for policy 1.0.5, communities demonstrate their value of transit availability in the region.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Molly. Discussion on that one, if any.
I had one thing that I guess I'm one to put a reject there. It was just because I thought the quarterly service report would be good for this as well. Because there's a lot of metrics in that that also assess the value of the transit region, like the ridership and paratransit, the number of bicycles, lots of good stuff. So I felt like that would be a valuable addition.
Okay. Anybody disagree with that, adding that quarterly service report? Okay, we'll do that. Any other comments or questions on that one? All in favor say aye with the motion.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much.
I have one comment after all this is now done. Everything's, we've now blessed 1.0. By the first part of next week or sometime during next week, you will all get the next survey of 2.1. And so look forward to it. I hope everyone participates.
I'm going to have a comment about the purpose of this. It's to save us time, because we could go through here and we could spend a lot more time going through the nitty-gritty of these things. But if they're doing the survey, it gives us an opportunity to go through it ahead of time, when we have time, and make our comments. And I think it's a very valuable tool to have for the board here to save us time in these meetings. And someone mentioned once a while ago about transparency. And I think it's a good way to, you know, when we put our names on here, we know who's saying what for transparency purposes. And also to be able to know, I mean, if we were in this room together, we would be speaking out loud anyway. So I don't see a difference between having our names on here and not. But I just wanted to thank Ron for putting hours and hours and hours into putting this together. Thank you, Ron.
I agree.
That's a good job.
Thank you very much. Let's give him a hand. And Sue as well. Sue as well.
No, it was the whole committee. Okay.
Just the whole PEP committee. We came together and...
Oh, Ron, you're the PEP committee.
No. Everybody's...
It's true, Norm, right? He's right.
Thank you, Jeff.
Very great time discussing this.
Yeah.
Eric, I apologize, Eric, for being a little impatient.
Oh, you're
right. Appreciate your comments. We appreciate them very much.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Can I go back to the survey that I did and refresh my memory what my responses were?
No.
I did print them.
I can print out your responses.
No, I don't want you to go to that trouble. That's not...
I already have it.
Well, I know, but that's another step. I need to do the step if I want it, or I need to write it down or something independently. I can do that. I just wondered if I went back through, if I could also pull up my responses where I had them for...
Can you do that, Cherise?
Take a picture of it with your phone on the screen.
That's my phone I'm doing it on.
Let me offer this as a suggestion. Would each of you like your responses when we extract the data? Because I get your sheet, and it's 4 pages. And I can send that to you in an email.
Yeah. I don't want to know.
How about if we take that one offline and we work with Cherise and see if we come on the plan, we'll email everyone.
Okay. So how did we settle that? Those that want it can ask you?
Yeah.
Okay. And if we don't ask you, don't send it.
Right.
Thank you very much. Okay. Hey, number 9, we're going to try to get out of here in the next 10 minutes, if possible. I'll make mine very short. Item number 9 there, and this item has been mentioned, maybe service to Box Elder County. It's been talked about. Tremont asked for service some time ago, but, you know, can we do it? Will it pay for itself? The discussion last week in a meeting sponsored by Box Elder County, Todd and I attended, was... That they're going to do a request for proposal. They're going to get a consultant for somewhere at a cost of $125,000 to $175,000, Box Elder County finding the money to pay that bill. We had representatives from Cache County there, Tremont and City, Brigham City, Box Elder County elected officials and planners, Weber County elected officials were there, and that group agreed to encourage Box Elder County to go ahead and do a request for proposal, get a consultant to look at transit needs, transit connections from Cache to Box Elder County to Weber County and beyond. Is that an adequate summary?
Yeah.
And so we're talking, what, 9 months maybe to get that completed? And it might show needs and opportunities for Cache Valley Transit to be more involved. But obviously that's a decision that we would make based on, will it pay for itself? And that's the issue Utah Transit Authority has faced recently. They cut their fairly limited service on Front Runner, the big train, the heavy rail train from Ogden to Pleasant View. I guess they just eliminated it this week because it didn't pay for itself. And as Todd points out, these services, somehow you have to have the money to pay for them. And so...
So the Plain City route is shut down? Yeah?
From Ogden to Pleasant View, the rail is...
Yeah, and the Box Elder commissioners are pretty unhappy about that because three communities in Box Elder County, Brigham City, Perry City, and Willard City, for the last 10 years or so have been banking UTA, been banking a quarter cent of their sales tax to put Front Runner eventually to Brigham City. That was the hope a decade ago, and now that looks unlikely, too expensive, cannot be justified by the ridership. You know, this study may shed light on that as well. So that's kind of where we are. And it will be good information for Cache Valley Transit as well as the Box Elder Weber County folks. Any questions on that? So we'll kind of keep you posted on where that goes over the next 9 months. Thank you. Todd?
I just have maybe two things.
Sure.
One, some of you, those of you that are Logan representatives may have been contacted by one of our call ride passengers, and I apologize I didn't get my email out to you before he contacted you, but the gentleman's name is Stephen Daines, and he's an elderly gentleman that we transport on call ride, and he wants a lot of different things, but he will probably contact you. So just to give you an idea of a couple things, we have what we call no-shows, which is if somebody schedules a ride and then they don't show up, then that's considered a no-show because they kept that ride from someone else that could have scheduled.
And there's a period of no-show? What's that time?
So our policy was 90 minutes. We've just changed it to 60 minutes. So if they call within 60 minutes, it's not considered a no-show. It's considered a cancellation. It used to be 90 minutes. They had 90 minutes.
But you drive up to his door and he doesn't come out.
Correct. So
how long do you wait for him?
So there's a 5-minute ready window. Dean's had a conversation. So
didn't know that.
No, that's all right. So we are using our policy to provide Stephen Daines with service. But Stephen Daines wants to go beyond the policy. Again, the policy is there to protect all of our riders and not to just make it for one rider. So with regards to the ready window, there's a 5-minute ready window. And this is, again, all in accordance with the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is not a transit law, it is a civil liberties law. So what the law states is that once we show up within the designated time that we've agreed to with the customer, they have 5 minutes in which to get out and board the vehicle. Mr. Daines' interpretation is he sets his walker out on the porch, and then he goes back in the house, and he will be in the house for 10, 15, 20, 25 minutes. And he says, well, my walker was out on the front porch, so I was ready. And we've explained to him on numerous occasions that is not ready. You have 5 minutes to get into the bus. And so the drivers will leave. And so he has issue with that. The no-show policy, if you called within less than 90 minutes, you would be given a no-show. There's a percentage that you have in order before we can suspend your riding privileges because you're costing other passengers. This is the great thing about our system. I love this about our system. We make mistakes. But when we make mistakes, we have processes and procedures in place to catch that. So, Mr. Danes, under the old system, he had gone over his threshold. He had had too many no-shows. So, we sent him a letter saying your writing privileges are going to be suspended effective this day. He has every right to appeal, and in that letter, we give him the appeals process. He formally appealed. Once someone formally appeals, their writing privileges are not suspended until we go through the appeals process. So his writing privileges were never suspended. So we get into the appeals process. He comes in and meets with the appeals board, and we go through that process. And in that process, we find out that our spreadsheet for tracking has an error. It has a formula error.
Who's the appeals board? Is that just who's the appeals board?
The appeals
board
is Curtis and myself.
Okay.
So we're not involved in the daily operations, okay. And so what we're doing is looking to make sure that the operations is following our policy. We found that there was an error in the spreadsheet, and he did not have the percentage that we said he had. It was lower. In that process, we found that, and we go, wow, great job. The process worked. The appeals process worked. His writing privileges were never suspended. We found the error. We corrected the error. We did away with the no-shows that weren't applicable. Everything's hunky-dory. But he wants the ready window to be, I mean, not the ready window, the no-show policy to be 60 minutes instead of 90 minutes. That's something we have to go through a process. It takes time. We have to work with the FTA and all of that. So we've made that change. We did not make it fast enough for him. He wanted it to be quicker. He's the only person that's complaining about that. But we've made the change. So now it's 60 minutes. But no matter what we're doing, there's something that is upsetting. And some of this stuff is probably good. We have good discussion. If we find a problem, we'll fix it. If we don't, then we'll explain to him his reason for what the policy is for. But he will probably call you because there are many things. I will just tell you, we have now given a script to our dispatchers that if he calls and says anything but scheduling a ride, because he tends to go off, as he may know, he tends to wander around for hours, and our dispatchers have spent hours with him. We say, Mr. Danes, can we do anything else to schedule your ride? If not, we're going to hang up because he won't let us go. And so then they're going to hang up. And so it's that type of thing. And again, we're happy to accommodate him and help him as best we can, but there is a limit of time that we can offer to his services. But again, if you are made aware of complaints that are specific of things, I'm happy to have you call me and identify those, and we'll try to address them to your concern and to his. That's our goal. But he probably will call you. I was hoping he was going to be here tonight. I encouraged him to come tonight, and last minute he canceled his trips and said that he couldn't come. So there's one other thing I was going to mention.
So was it a no-show tonight?
I think he canceled it. He canceled the time. But there also is a cancellation policy. Because, again, he's still keeping the trip from somebody, even though it's not a no-show. So there's a cancellation policy. That percentage is much larger than the no-show policy. But, again, these are all within the confines of the Americans with Disabilities Act. We are following that. That plan's been approved by the FTA. We're not picking on Mr. Danes. We're treating him just like we would other customers.
Does he live alone? Does he have anybody to help him facilitate
this? So here's the challenge. That's a great question. We work very closely with Options for Independence. Mm-hmm. And often, especially in appeals process, we will actually ask someone from Options to come down and help individuals to be an advocate for them. I mean, that's something we want. Mr. Danes is a little bit of a challenge. He's been kicked out of several businesses. I don't believe, has any family that's willing to help him. He consumes a lot of energy and time. And so Options for Independence, who we normally use, there's been some issues there. He's been violent. So there's just some challenges that we're facing, and we're trying to work through those. But ultimately, we believe there probably will end up being that we'll require that he has to have an attendant schedule his rides, and he has to have an attendant on the bus. You know, he's very demanding. He tells the drivers what the route should be that they should take to get him to his destination. And again, he's not the only person on the bus. There's other people. We're trying to group trips and do all sorts of things. But again, those things that are legitimate, we're wanting to address. Those things that aren't, we'll just try to educate and work to.
And he doesn't have our addresses, right? The violence.
He does have
thing.
Your. He does. Well, I don't want to. I don't want to. Okay. I don't want to over exaggerate that. He just hit. I don't think he even hit anybody. He swung at somebody. But I mean, I don't want to exaggerate. He's a pretty old gentleman, elderly gentleman. So.
Sometimes.
He still needs a little teal.
You were supposed to pick him up.
Okay, thanks for sharing that, Will. We appreciate your patience.
Can I share one more thing?
Sure.
One more thing really quickly.
Sure.
So next month, the board had asked us to come back with some ideas around some route expansion, some route plan, if you remember.
Based on the short-range transit
plan. Based on the short-range transit plan and some other things. So,
okay.
We've been anxiously engaged in that. Jillian, who you met tonight, Jody, we've been some others, we've been anxiously engaged in that. And I'm putting together a presentation on that. I just want you to be thinking, again, I think one of the things that I really look to this board as a policy group is to help us determine is who should we serve. Because again, there's folks that if we really want to get people out of their cars, infect congestion and traffic, which I think is great, that service needs to be as convenient as your car. And I don't know if we've got the investment or if we want to put the investment in that. So that's going to limit how much traffic congestion we're really impacting. There's the folks that are like Mr. Danes that are really needing transit, that's their only option. That's not going to be as efficient. It's not going to grow ridership. It's going to be a lot more costly service. And again, that's another aspect of the community that we should serve. I think there's probably a blend there. I don't know what that is, but as a policy group, I'm going to be looking for your direction as to what that should be, because then I can make plans. Then our staff can really make plans about where do we go and how do we do that, and then we can be the experts that you want us to be, and we can come and say, based on your policy, based on your direction, this is what we think meets. And it's much like the interpretations. This is our interpretation of what you're telling us. And then we can have that discussion, and you can say, no, that's not really our interpretation. Or you're off a little bit on your interpretation. We think it should be this. But so, you know, again, one example might be that Wellsville has come to us many times and said, hey, we want service out to Wellsville. When I say Wellsville, some citizens, not the elected folks. But so maybe we come with an idea of service out to Wellsville. But Wellsville, the elected officials would need to be willing to put that on the ballot for the people. The people would need to vote that in, vote in a transit tax. So there's a lot of process. So what we're going to bring to you is probably the stuff that we could do initially with the current services. If we're going to bring a next layer in several months from down the road, that would be stuff that it's going to take us 18 months to get a bus to do that, you know, and so that's going to be a long time down the road. So just that's kind of what's coming next month, or what I'm hoping to do.
Knowing that, do you have the boarding survey data compiled yet from the last time you did that boarding, the every 3 year, who gets on and off every
That's time? One of the things that we look at.
Okay, because yeah. Not that, I mean, I know that's minutia, but that is sure an eye-opener when you see that, and it helps us so that we don't recommend stupid things. Just to put it bluntly, yeah, I mean, it might true. Be really good for the board to see that data,
okay.
If possible.
I'm going to try to keep you out of that data. I mean, that's really not, I mean, but I'm happy to bring it if the board wants us to bring it, but.
It's only because if we say, well, looking at the map, this makes sense. Well, we don't know that boarding data.
I'm trusting that you're hoping that we're looking at that, but I'm happy to
okay.
bring it if that's what you want.
I understand your point.
That is stuff that we look at, yes. I mean, and that's where we will be the professionals and we'll give you our recommendation. And when we get to that level, then we will bring that and we'll say, this is what it is, that type of thing. Why our recommendation is what it is. Right now, what I'm really looking to do is to bring to you kind of what we see based on our interpretation right now, who we are as an agency. These are the areas that we would like to focus. And we're not quite down to that level of data yet. I want to know if you agree that that's the areas we should focus on. Because if I'm way out in left field, and I'm focusing, I don't want to put a lot of staff energy into that and then have you guys go, no, it should be over here, Todd. I mean, our time, we have a lot going on. Our staff is pretty small, and so I want to use that time wisely. So, but yes, when we get to the point that we're actually saying, these are the things we're going to do, and this is the streets and all that, then I do think you're right, Sean. We need to look at, and we can show that part of our recommendation. This is why we're doing this.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Any questions for Todd based on that? So we'll look forward to that discussion next month. Anything else we ought to address before we adjourn? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I shall move.
We have a motion to adjourn. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.